Today's scripture comes from Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 through 18. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. A land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing. A land where stones are iron, and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill, and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, "My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Anyone who has ever taken up the challenge of reading through the Bible from cover to cover, just the way it's laid out, has most likely done pretty well at the beginning and gotten totally bogged down by the time the pages of Leviticus roll around, where the holiness code given to the people who Moses had led out of slavery from Egypt gets elaborated on in great detail. That is, of course, if you made it through the detailed descriptions of the tabernacle that are found in Exodus. Should you make it through these dense and often confusing passages, and if you weave your way through Numbers with more laws and more tabernacle talk, you breathe a sigh of relief as you turn into Deuteronomy, which pretty quickly starts to take three steps backwards as Moses starts to retell the story of everything that's just happened that you've been reading about for three books. And then he restates the Ten Commandments and preaches a 20-chapter sermon on them. What is going on here? Well, Moses was at the end of his tenure as the leader of these people, and he had a few things he wanted to get off of his chest before he handed it over to Joshua. He had led the people out of Egypt and around the wilderness for 40 years. God had used him to deliver these troublesome, stubborn people of his out of slavery, but they had tested God and Moses at practically every turn. So much so that God had sworn that none of them that walked out of Egypt would enter the promised land, other than Joshua and Caleb. Not even Moses would cross the River Jordan and enter the land of milk and honey that God was finally giving to them. So, when Moses retells the story of what had happened all those years ago, he was telling people who had not experienced it firsthand. And when he tells them the Ten Commandments and elaborates on them, what he is actually doing is interpreting them for these people who are moving from their wilderness years into their milk and honey years. These are two very important things for these people to hear in this time of transition. Just consider what their life had been like for those years of wandering. They had no permanent home. They had no variety of diet. They had no normal day-to-day life. Now, they were led by God, and they were fed by God, and they were certainly blessed to have been chosen and rescued by God, but they had been living a migratory life in the wilderness. So then, considering that, just listen to this description of this land that they will be entering that we see at the beginning of today's passage. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, of olive trees and honey. A land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing. You shall eat your fill. From a land of manna and water and, for at least a time period, quail, into a land like this, fresh produce, an abundance of water that God doesn't make come out of a rock. No more gathering day by day by day. No scarcity, lacking nothing, and God's blessing besides. It was going to be a huge change. Now, I am sure that many of us, if not all of us, can remember times in our own lives that seemed like wilderness days. Some of you may have grown up in homes that were impacted by the Great Depression. I know that my grandmothers, my husband's grandmothers, they did not live their life the way that the rest of us did. Their relationship with things was forever changed by the scarcity of those times. Now, even if you weren't impacted by countrywide economic issues, you could very well have had personal economic challenges, either in the home that you grew up in or the home you live in now. Perhaps some of you are still facing those sorts of wildernesses today. While many of us are familiar with wilderness days, many are also probably familiar with days of milk and honey. For some, adult life may have started out with tight budgets, tuna noodle casseroles, and poor credit reports, but have matured into home and cars and retirement plans. But this is just talking about economics. There are so many other ways to be in the wilderness or in the land of plenty. Marriage, or singleness, divorce, the blessing of children, the struggle of infertility, perhaps adoption, health, sickness, death. Life is up and down. Life is wilderness and plenty, and that is just the way it is. So Moses stood there that day looking upon these people, and he knew in a way that we seldom, if ever, have the benefit of knowing in our own lives. He knew that things were going to get better for them. He knew that life was going to take a turn up, on paper, anyway. He knew things were going to be better for them in their day-to-day lives, but he also knew that this better life was going to be a new challenge for these people who already had a tendency to wander away from God. Life in the wilderness had a benefit, you see. It made them depend on God because they had no choice but to depend on God. Life was not easy, but they were taken care of by a God who had cared enough to hear their cries for mercy and had come to save them from slavery. Life in the wilderness had very obvious challenges, and they could be challenges to faith in God. But life in the land of milk and honey had challenges too, and they were sneakier ones. They were ones that could sometimes look like blessings, but could really be a trap. Like that milk and honey itself. Milk and honey on every corner. When life was not so hard, when meals weren't so day to day, when it wasn't so obvious how dependent they were on God, it was going to get pretty easy to forget God. To forget what he had done for them 40 years ago, and then it becomes 50, and then 100, and then 200 years earlier when he brought them out of slavery. To forget the covenant that he had made with Abraham and then Moses. A covenant to bless them, first with descendants and people, and then with land. It was going to be very easy to forget all of this when they were in their homes, in that land that God was giving them, when they were eating the food that God would bless their labors with, and when they were bouncing their children and grandchildren on their knees. When Moses retells the people the Ten Commandments, he tells them pretty much the same way as they were originally heard back in the book of Exodus. But when he explains them to them, he gives them a slightly different slant. He restates the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before you." He restates it in a slightly more positive way. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might." Now we know that Jesus would recall that commandment stated that way, along with "love your neighbor as yourself," as the greatest commandment when he was pressed in his own ministry to prioritize the commandments. The restatement seems minor, but it undergirds all of Scripture. It is the heart of our faith. Moses was afraid that these people would cross the River Jordan and get comfortable and forget even this first commandment. He was afraid that life would get easy and that they would forget God and they would forget all of the ways that they were called to be different, to be set apart, to be unique among all of the peoples of the earth. And so he preaches, "Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and built your fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks have multiplied, and your silver and your gold have multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God. He made water flow for you from a flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna. Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Preach." I said earlier that many of us have known wilderness days, and some of us are still living them. But Probably most of us, no matter how rough our life is right now, probably most of us could look at our lives today and recognize at least some measure of milk and honey. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, I urge us to really consider what is before us, what is on our tables, who is under our roofs, what is in our lives as a whole. I urge us to really consider what is before us and truly, truly give thanks to God for it all. In our race to get to the mall to snatch up a deal, in our hurry to get the tree out and decorated, in our rush to attend every holiday party and performance that is on the schedule, let us not forget who we are and from whom all our blessings flow. And I challenge us as a church to consider these same questions as well. Many of us here in this room may think that we are in some sort of wilderness time here in our church. We look at our attendance numbers and we look at our offering numbers and we think these are not like they were in the good old days of milk and honey. Be that as it may, have we forgotten what all we do have here as a community of faith? Have we forgotten what brought us here, in whose name we gather, for whom there is much work still to be done? Have we let ourselves forget the blessings around us because we are worried about how to maintain them? Are we failing to use the blessings that we have because we are afraid that they might be lost to us forever? The wilderness is tough. The wilderness is tough on faith and on our relationship with God, but prosperity and success may be even tougher if we let the milk and honey go to our heads. The wilderness is not someplace we choose to go, but sometimes it is the only way to keep us from taking the milk and honey for granted. May we never be so warm and cozy that we forget to say thank you to our Creator God. May we never be so safe and secure that we forget how much we need our Savior, Jesus. And may we never be so confident and sure that we forget that we need the guidance of our Counselor Spirit. To God be the thanks and the glory this Thanksgiving and every day. Let us pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for every good gift in our life. We ask you to help us keep our eyes open and our hearts open and our minds open and recognize all of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We give you our eternal thanks. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, that we might be a people who operate not with a sense of scarcity and fear, but with the joy of abundance, that we might be your people wherever we go, that we might show those who are in the wilderness that there is a land of milk and honey that is overflowing for them. Lord, this day we come before you with grateful hearts and sing your praises. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.